Extra Life Radio presents Time to Learn French. This week's lesson, how to meet people in a comic book shop in France. Excuse me, sir, but can you tell me where to find the latest issue of Moon Knight?
Excusez-moi, monsieur. Pourriez-vous me dire où je peux trouver le dernier numéro du Chevalier de la Lune?
What do you mean you haven't carried that title since 1989?
Comment ça, vous n'avez plus cette série depuis 1989?
Well, you can tell your manager to bite my cheese.
Vous savez quoi? Votre manager peut me mordre le fromage.
May your entire family burn in hell.
Puissiez-vous brûler en enfer.
See? Everything sounds better when spoken in French. See you next time.
This is Extra Life Radio.
This episode of Extra Life Radio is brought to you in part by our sponsors, GoDaddy.com. Use the codes Life1, Life2, and Life3 to save money. And also, YouBuyNow.com. Extra Life saves you 10% at checkout. Extra special support comes from the following individuals: Nicole Spagnagolio, Michelle Brookbank, Robert Macy, Michelle Garcia, and Leonard Stanky. This episode is for you. Hey everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is ELR number 194 for September 1st, 2008. We are dangerously close to episode 200. I can't even freaking believe it. Ah, it's crazy. It's weird. Anyway, so look forward to that, whatever that's going to be. Welcome back to the show. Guess what? There's two people here tonight. It's me, and it's CommissionComic.com's very own Obsidian. Good evening.
What, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, hey!
Sorry to disrupt your whatever it was you're doing, but yes, it's you. It's me and it's you. There's no Brian tonight. What happened? Where'd Brian go? Do you even know?
Yeah, he's at Disney.
Disneyland, or excuse me, Disney World. Not Disneyland.
Who wants to go to Disneyland?
He's at the nice clean one.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to go to Disneyland, man?
Yeah, I don't want to offend anybody in Anaheim. And Disneyland's actually okay, but Disney World is a much more sort of nice thing. But he is, I called him a minute ago on the phone. In fact, you know what? Let's just play a bit of that call, and we'll talk about it after I get back. Hang on.
Hello?
Hello? Who's this?
This is Brian.
Dude, what are you doing?
Is this Scott Johnson?
Yeah. Are you in the middle of Disneyland, Disney World?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of Disney World talking to Carlos.
Oh.
Baldo.
Oh, cool, dude.
Yeah, he came down for the day.
That's kind of awesome. I'm just going to assume that you won't be back to the hotel before the show starts.
If we're doing it tonight, probably not.
Probably not.
What time is it now?
Oh, well, it's like 7:07. So we were normally going to start right around now, but I just wanted to call you and make sure. And by the way, you're being recorded.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is your big chance to say whatever you want to say for your part of the show tonight.
Bite me.
That's it. That's all you got.
No, I want to wish everybody a very happy Labor Day.
Yeah.
Even though by the time you hear this, it will be all over.
Yeah.
And I am having a great time at Disney World, and I can't wait to get back into the show.
Good. Well, we'll miss you for tonight, but have fun there. Don't eat too much whatever it is you eat, and we'll try to grab you. As they say, as the kids say, on the flip side. Okay, we're back. So as you can see, Brian is alive. He hasn't left. He hasn't died. He hasn't, you know, decided that he's done with the show. He just not back to his hotel. There's a slim chance that he'll make it back and have internet and pop in and let me know, and then I'll add him to the call. So that'll be good. So it won't be a completely Brian-free episode, right?
Now with 75% less Brian.
Less Brian, yeah. No, we love Brian, and we hope he's having a good time. And we're sure he is, because it's Disney World. That's what you do there. You have a good time. Damn it. couple of quick things up at the top of the show. Why don't you tell people something's changed at Commission Comic, for those who may be following, and a lot of them already know, obviously, but for those who don't, you're doing something different. What is it?
Now I'm drawing with my, I'm inserting a pencil in my rectum, and I sit on the paper, and that's the new way I'm drawing now.
Awesome. Now, please tell me you're streaming this.
It's great for your digestion.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds really hot. No, you're doing that. That's true. This pencil in the anal thing, that's all happening. But you're doing it only 3 times a week.
True. Yes, indeed. Yeah. I have changed my update schedule, as you did quite some time ago.
Yeah, but I went back.
How long ago was that?
Well, remember when I did... Okay, for the longest time, the comic has always been 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. For a brief period in there, and I mean it was like 2 weeks, I said, and I told O about it, I said, I'm going to go to 2 days a week instead and try to devote more time to some other things. So I was going to go Tuesday, Thursday. That seriously lasted like 2 weeks, and I couldn't handle it. I had to go 3 again, and without telling anybody, I just slipped back into the Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule again, and it's never changed since. So yeah. I think it's a comfortable place, a good place. For you, it was, you know, a reduction.
Well,
you're going down.
I mean, I've been doing daily, including Saturdays and Sundays, for almost 4 years now. And I've been trying to get some new projects out. You know, I have like these little sketches I call Bunny Bacons. And,
yeah.
And I really want to see where that takes me. And I have merchandise that I haven't been able to produce because, you know, I need to make money. And besides, merchandise is fun.
Yeah.
And I have this other comic I've been trying to work on for this whole year called Bleeding Weapons.
Yeah.
And I have my commissions to do and, you know, my job as a teacher. So I haven't really had time for anything. And although Commissioned Comic itself has never, ever, ever missed an update, I am notoriously incapable of meeting any other kind of deadline. I mean, I'll never miss an update for commissions,
yeah.
But I am incapable of delivering on anything else. And well, I don't like that. You know, I don't like that. I don't think that's I don't think that's a good way to be. So I decided, you know, I love commissions. I want to draw a commission to the day I die. Or at least for now.
Yeah.
But
summer of 2010, we figure.
Yeah. But what I do know is that it's not the only thing I want to do. I mean, I want to do commission, but I want to do other stuff too. And if I keep on doing commission daily, I'm never going to be able to do anything else.
Yeah.
So I decided, hey, what about if I go to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule, and that way I can open more time for other things. This last week, it's really weird. I mean, after 4 years of doing this every day, it felt really weird the first day that there wasn't a comic there. And it's been difficult.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, even my screwy little 3-down-to-2 thing I was doing, that was my problem with it. It felt really weird, and I felt like, oh, I should be doing that. Why am I not doing that? And But I also I'd say this, and I don't have I don't even have any way to point at this, and I told O this the other day. I think your work here, and all of this, folks, by the way, we should call this like the webcomic pro tip minute of the show or something. but I think your work shows that you have more time, that your thought process is maybe a little less chaotic, like you're able to sort of go, all right, I can nestle into this little spread out time period and I can come up with something and you're doing more with like perspective, and the characters just look a little more refined, and it's not like they were sloppy before or any of that. That's why this is hard to explain, because it
well no I've, no no but I know what you're talking about, because one thing that used to happen to me a lot with the comic, and we should do this sometime here on the podcast, you know, talking about it, we should talk about, you know, a little bits of advice to people,
sure,
that are,
why not,
are starting off in webcomic. But one thing is that as an artist, I always wanted to you know, you always want to draw stuff. Like, oh, you know, wouldn't it be cool to draw me doing this, or, you know, whatever. And when you're looking at a deadline, sometimes you have to discard certain ideas that you get. You have to go like, okay, you know, I want to draw this, but there's no way I'm going to make it. There's no way I'm going to be able to make this on time. So a lot of times you simplify the image in order to keep a deadline. Now that I've got like basically 2 days for every comic, I can just, you know, there's a lot of things that I wouldn't draw before that I'm saying, you know, I can draw this now. I can do this now because I've got 2 days to make it. I will say this, I mean, to people that maybe are drawing comics or starting off or anything, it is good to at least give it a shot, you know, to try and do the daily thing.
Sure.
Because it's great in building the discipline that you need. And I think that one of the major problems with webcomics today, one of the reasons maybe that the media, you know, the webcomic, I don't know. I mean, webcomics in general are not taken so seriously is because a lot of webcomic artists just don't stick to a schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you get a bunch of webcomics that don't update for months and stuff like that.
It's the same problem. Really... It's the same problem in podcasting, by the way. I mean, there are a lot of shows, a lot of great quality stuff that peter out or they quit releasing on a fairly regular schedule. And despite us, you know, we have the occasional miss a week here, miss a week there. Randy, on the instance, was sick for 2 weeks, so we basically were 3 weeks behind on that show. This stuff happens sometimes, but on the whole, we're just about the most consistent show on the internet, or set of shows.
Wow.
And I think that
you know, I don't listen to podcasts, so I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's very true. It's Scott Fletcher coined the phrase, I believe, a couple years back. He called it pod fading, and it's this idea that people may be doing really good work, but because they're inconsistent, it's difficult to sort of take them seriously and give the medium the respect it deserves. And this is certainly improving these days, but it's definitely kind of the same thing.
So it's the same for webcomics. And I have a huge list of webcomics that I love, but the problem is they don't update often enough. And some of them are just like very – like there's webcomics that update once a week, so it's not satisfying enough. But yeah, at least you can check it out once a week. But there's a lot of webcomics that just update whenever they feel like it, and it appears to be that they don't really feel like it at all.
VG Cats. I'm just kidding. I think Graham. I think Graham Sumer is still listens to the show, so he knows I'm just joking.
I don't know. I don't know if he does. But for example, one of my favorite comics, Ordinary Boy.
Yeah.
The creator of it apparently suffers from some form of depression. I don't know, because every now and then he starts ranting about how. He just doesn't see no point in it. And it's really sad because to me, Ordinary Boy is one of the best comics, web comics out there.
Yeah.
And so I mean, he hasn't updated like since 3 months or something back. So it really, I mean, really, if you're thinking about starting a web comic, you should get a nice schedule, stick to it, you know, acquire the discipline, see how far you can go, and then, you know, settle into something.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
And that's what I'm.
And that's what you're doing now. And you've, I mean, obviously, go back, folks. Look at commissioncomic.com's first comic and now look at it today. You will see the fruits of being consistent and doing a seven-day-a-week comic. It's a pretty amazing transformation. And it's true, actually, any comic that's super consistent, I don't care what their update schedule is, you'll see it just an enormous growth and, like, improvement and all these other sorts of things. You know, even in my own work, it's pretty obvious. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's part of the fun. I mean, you can go look at any archive from a comic that has at least a decent size archive, and you'll see how they change. You can see it in your comic, although your first comic is still one of my favorites.
Still, yeah, I think it still is your very favorite. Because any joke about masturbation is a friend of O's. I'll say this one last thing about... why that's such a good thing in my mind, and why webcomicry
is masturbation?
No, being consistent, not with masturbation either.
Yeah, you got to be consistent with masturbation. Well, I mean, don't fall behind.
Yeah, of course. You have a schedule. You need to stick to it. When I started, my whole goal with Extra Life in the first early days simply was this: nothing more was to keep me drawing every, you know, consistently. Keep me drawing every day.
And the goal with that was to say, well, here's a way for me to keep going and update and improve my work. And that's exactly what I got. I accomplished the goal. This is exactly what I wanted to do. And it continues today. It can, you know, this is just how, it's just an evolution. And you ask anybody who's doing this, ask Scott Kurtz, who I think still listens. How's it going, Scott? At least as of last week, he was.
Well, he is one of the most consistent. I mean, his archive is
enormous.
His archive dwarfs ours any day.
Oh yeah, it's enormous. He's extremely consistent, and his work shows it. Mike at Penny Arcade, same thing. Look at his early stuff. Look at it today. An enormous amount of change, and again, it comes from being super consistent. So there are a lot of other good examples out there. I did not intend to have such a great comic pro tip at the top of the show, but look what you guys got this week. Wow. Write down the date. Tell your grandchildren. It's awesome. Not only that, but I want to do a couple of quick things. I got married 16 years and 2 days ago. So happy
now
anniversary
to
me.
Divorce.
Yeah, now it's time. Finally, we're going to get that divorce we've been pining for all these years. No, we were, I suspect another 16 will come our way. But anyway, so happy anniversary to me and my wife. Not only that, but we have some fans with birthdays. Happy birthday, Evan, Mark, Mason, and Clark. And that's all I got to say about that. But happy birthday.
Okay.
All right. And before we move on, because we're going to talk about video games in a second, before we move on, I want to just give a little special thanks to Patrick from France, who helped me out with this week's little intro you all heard at the top of the show. Thank you, Patrick. May all your female bodybuilders have less armpit hair or whatever. All right.
Okay.
Video games!
Video games!
Couple of things of interest this week. First of all, I forgot to mention before the show when Owen and I were sort of talking about notes, but Spore comes out on like the 7th, I want to
really?
Say.
Yes, it does.
So are you all set to buy a perfectly legal copy and install it on your perfectly legal PC?
Of course not.
All right.
You know I'm not.
I knew
mean,
you
come
were.
On. No. And actually, I'm not that excited about it either. I mean, I do plan to play it, but I'm a lot more excited about Force Unleashed.
Yes, indeed. I'm actually not as excited about Force Unleashed as I am about Spore, having played the Force Unleashed demo. It was okay. I didn't love it. It was all right.
What did he play?
I need to see more. The 360. I need to see more of it, so I can decide whether this is really going to be all that or not. It was a little brief. And it felt
very worried about it.
Yeah, it's just a little gimmicky. Like, I'm just still a little worried that all this hucking stuff around is more of a tech demo, a really cool tech demo. But I'm a little worried about story. However, today I was at the bookstore with the kids, and I noticed there's a whole book, like an entire hardbound book about this story, and a comic book, I guess. I didn't see that, though, but it was supposedly there, about this story. And so I guess it's a big enough story that they made a book version. I mean, obviously that didn't come first. The game came and then they wrote a story around it. But I guess if your story's decent enough and you can actually publish a book dealing with that story, that maybe there's more to that than I maybe was giving it credit for. But the demo doesn't really feed you all of that. Obviously, it's a demo. We're not going to get the whole thing. So I want to see some reviews. I want to have some friends play it and let me know what they thought. And then we'll see.
Well, send me your 360 and send me the demo, and I'll tell you.
All right, I'll let you know. Also, my understanding is there's no PC version, right?
Right. For what? For Force Unleashed?
Yeah.
No, I'm very worried because the version I'm going to have access to is the Wii version, and the Wii, however fun it may be, when compared in terms of power to the 360 and the PS3 is severely underpowered, and the Force Unleashed definitely looks like a game. It looks like a power game. I mean, it doesn't look like a game that that would go well with the Wii, graphic wise and all that.
Oh,
so
sure.
I'm a little worried about it.
Yeah,
plus
there's no way to really get a demo either, so you can't really try it before you buy. And in your case,
well, I mean that won't hurt. I mean, if I buy in and it's no good, that won't hurt because games, you know, the way I get games, they don't really cost much. But
yeah,
I'm just worried it's not going to be fun. And I've really been wanting to play, you know, like some Star Wars, feel like a Jedi or Sith in this case, kind of thing. The last time I played and I felt like the real Jedi power was when I played Jedi Academy 4.
Is that the one with the four dudes that follow you around and stuff, or which one of them was Jedi Academy?
No. That one is Knights of the Old Republic, which is awesome. It's one of my favorite games of all time, but it doesn't really get you feeling like all the action, like all the Jedi power, because this is a role-playing game, so it's a little bit more calm. When you play Jedi Academy 4, you really get to like experience the whole Jedi powers thing, you know, grab people and toss them around and use the Force.
I know which one Jedi Knight is, but I'm trying to think. There was some other one in between there. I guess you weren't a Jedi though. There was some like squad based kind of like.
Oh yeah.
What was that called?
You were like a clone trooper, dude. You were a clone trooper. I can't remember the name. Maybe somebody in the chat.
Rebel Commando says. Pure rock.
Yeah, it K-Bob. Was awesome. Yeah, it was really good. It was a first-person shooter, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Never played it.
I
don't know why I brought it up, but I never played it.
But yeah, I mean, no, that game was also a lot of fun. But I'm really wanting to, like, play and, you know, the whole make-believe I'm a Force user kind of thing. And I'm worried that the game won't be satisfying.
Yeah, there's some I have some concern about that as well. But we'll see.
There is some concern about that.
There is some concern. But the 7th is indeed. I checked it while we were talking there. The Spore is coming out on the 7th, so that is dead on happening, all good. To be honest, the games I'm most excited about between now and the end of the year, there's a bunch I'm going to forget here, but Spore is one of them for sure for me. Force Unleashed, maybe. Really looking forward to Little Big Planet on my PS3. This might be the first game I get for my PS3 where I'm most super excited about it. It looks awesome. I'm excited for.
I'm looking forward to Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Mirror's Edge as well. I'm looking forward to Left 4 Dead. Looking forward to that's one you can get because that's like a Valve PC thing. What else? I'm looking forward to. My brain just went blank. Fallout 3 is huge for me.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah, I can't. Absolutely. Oh, I can't wait for that. So there's a bunch of stuff, dude. There's a bunch.
But what about StarCraft?
StarCraft 2, but I doubt it'll be this year. I'm really seriously doubting it. I am looking forward to Wrath of the Lich King, however, the expansion.
Wasn't it supposed to be in December?
No, there's at BlizzCon in October. Everyone's guess is that will be the day they finally do a public beta, and maybe maybe a release date. But I'm
disappointed.
Yeah, I'm seriously disappointed. We're not going to see it this year, is my guess. But nobody knows, dude. Blizzard can do whatever they want. That's a sad thing.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm very excited about all those things. Diablo will be great, but that's not this year. Star Trek Online, not so much. Anyway, chat room's throwing out names. and I've almost forgotten. Well, since Brian's not here, he didn't remind us. Did you saw the Geek Pressure site that he registered and put up?
Yes, I did.
All right,
yes,
let's make it known on the show right now. There's a lot of inside baseball, but... Brian registered a website last week.
Tell them about it.
Okay, he registered this because we were all talking about how never watches any Star Trek. And I think it was a show we had Brian Ibbett on. And O is always getting crap and grief from everyone, me chiefly, that he hasn't seen Star Trek of any sort. And that he should not be allowed to call himself a geek if he hasn't, you know, partaken of that sauce, as it were. So... Brian ran out and registered geekpressure.com. If you go there right now, you will see the likes of myself, Brian, Veronica Belmont, Randy Deluxe, Daryl, who helps us out with a lot of the intro stuff we do on the show, as well as does a really great segment over at the Instance. So you'll know him from that. And others I can't remember at the moment. But you need to see it. It's awesome. And we're hoping that eventually that this works on you and you buckle and watch some Star Trek.
Well, okay. First of all, what you're not going to manage, let me just say this out front. I mean, I got to be honest with you. What you're not going to manage is to convince me that I actually need to watch Star Trek.
Okay.
Okay? Now I know we're going to argue about this forever, but I know there's people out there that support me. And I would ask the people in the chat room to manifest their support.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of people out there that agree with me that Star Trek does not actually require to be watched.
That you're not bound by any sort of physical or spiritual law to watch the thing. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I mean, I do not need to watch Star Trek.
Okay.
Now, that said, the whole purpose of Geek Pressure is just to make me watch it, not because I believe Star Trek is worth watching, but because other people pushed me into it.
Yeah. Just like you don't need to do acid, but your drug-toting friends are pressuring you into doing it.
Exactly. That is right. The whole purpose of Geek Pressure, to get me to do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all this said, it is very difficult to say no to a lady of the caliber, for example, of Veronica.
Yeah.
But
who looks great in this picture, by the way. She looks great.
I mean, I've already laid down the law. I mean, I played my cards, and actually, the ball is in, you know, it's your ball now.
Yeah.
Scott, because I will tell all the people listening right now to ELR that I have issued a challenge to Scott Johnson right here. And I'm throwing down the glove or whatever it is that you do in order
the
to challenge.
Gauntlet. That's okay.
My
though.
Challenge is if Scott Johnson watches and proves, of course, I'll have to prove it also, but if Scott Johnson watches and proves that he watched a whole season of the Japanese, I don't know if it's completely Japanese, but of the animated series. I will watch a whole season of Star Trek or a whole bunch of Star Trek movies.
I'm committed, and the only way I can really prove it is I will do two things. I'll film me watching part of each episode, and I will make my wife, who is honest to a fault, on paper somehow, that I did everything I had committed to do. And I will watch your stupid anime.
I thought you were going to make your wife watch it.
No, hell no. I wouldn't do that to her.
That would not be fair.
To be honest, I saw the trailer and I got kind of excited about it because it looks so completely retarded that I really want to see it.
It is fantastically crazy. And if you watch it, I'll watch several Star Trek movies. I mean, whichever ones you recommend. Plus the new one.
All right.
I'll watch the new one.
Will you watch any of the series? Like, will you watch any of, like, Next Generation or any of that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, I can't commit to watching all of it because there's a lot of it.
Yeah, there's quite a bit.
There's definitely a lot of Star Trek.
Yeah.
And I see that there's a lot of movies.
There are a lot of movies.
I don't know how many Star Trek movies there are.
Is it like 11 or 12 or something like that?
So I would much rather commit to watching the movies than watching the series because of course, the movies are going to have higher production values.
That's true. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And if there was a Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo movie, then I'd watch that, I guess. But it doesn't exist.
I don't know.
They haven't quite come to a deal yet.
Yeah, there's a series, and you can watch it, and I'll watch the Star Trek movies, and I'll prove it the same way. I mean, I'll record myself watching one of the movies a la Mystery Science Theater 3000 or something like that, and it'll be fun.
All right. Well, let me tell you what, just quickly before we move on, what everybody said to you on geekpressure.com. You can see this yourself by going there. Veronica of Techzilla TV over at Revision 3, she said, she's a good friend of the show, "We're watching you until you watch Trek. See me watching and judging." And she's pointing
at you.
Well,
You see, that's not much of an incentive for me to watch Star Trek because if while I'm not watching it, a woman like Veronica Belmont is going to be watching me, then, you know, I'm going to want her to keep on watching.
That is creepy. All right. And then Randy, who says, he says, quote, "I refuse to contribute any more to charity until you watch Star Trek. Think of the children." That's Randy. Those who don't know who Randy is, Randy Deluxe, co-host of The Instance. Over the instance.net.
Well,
with
you see,
me.
Randy is not keeping in mind that I don't like children.
No, I know. That's true. He forgot about that. So it was falling on deaf ears. Daryl says, "Scott got to level 70 for the instance. Why can't O watch Star Trek for ELR? He makes a good point.
Well, because you like World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that's true.
No fair.
Yeah, no fair. That doesn't quite apply.
I think it's awesome.
It doesn't actually apply very well. Len from Jawbone Radio, also a great friend of the show and a frequent guest, says, quote, "I'm holding all my poopies until you watch the Trek. For the love of 25, hurry," unquote.
Again, not much of an incentive.
All right. Brian said, quote, "All the cool kids are doing it. Now look at my head of hair. Do it." I don't know what he's wearing there, but it's nasty. And then
he does have quite a head of hair.
Yeah. Is that really his hair, though? I don't know.
Well, I don't see why not.
It's freaky. And then I was the first one to apply, and I just said, quote, "One to beam up, damn it," which makes no sense and doesn't really doesn't motivate you to do anything, I guess.
Isn't it odd that your comment is like the lamest?
No, it seems about appropriate to me.
Besides, so. I declare you to be the least attractive person on geekpressure.com.
Wow, really? Even more than Daryl there or Len?
Okay, so we just went out and called them ugly.
Well, there's two categories of people here. There's Veronica, and then there's all of us. So, yeah.
So everybody's fighting for second place.
Yeah, and I think Randy's in probably the clear winner at the moment because he is one handsome devil.
You right. Like Randy.
I do, in ways I shouldn't express here on the show. I'm kidding. Please do not assume anything from what I just said. All right, let's move on. This is something I've been wanting to talk about on the show for a long time. We've never really, we may have touched on it. I don't know. But it's something that's always been on my mind. And so I don't know why we haven't brought this up. But I was basically, when it comes to games, I was raised on arcades. I loved them as a kid. To give you a little background, my dad, from the year 1978 until the year 1985, I want to say, ran just about every arcade in the town where I lived and some adjacent towns. We had a sit-down kind of cocktail-style coin-operated video game, typically Pac-Man or Donkey Kong or Burger Time, in every Pizza Hut from people that live in Utah will know where this is, but from Roy, Utah, which is way north, all the way down to St. George, Utah, which is way south. And I'd go around with him on weekends and collect the quarters and stuff, and he'd fix, if there's something he'd be fixed, like somebody dumped a Coke in one of the buttons, he'd bring a new button and fix it. And so I was surrounded by this stuff. My house had every popular stand-up video game you can think of, like Missile Command and Asteroids and Battle Zone, like the big old Battle Zone with the two sticks and the thing you held your eyes in so you could, it's like a tank game or whatever. Lots of weird obscure stuff from Japan, like Kamikaze 3 and this game where I can't remember the name of it, but you had to fix these pipes, and if you didn't fix the pipes, there'd be a naked lady in the tub and she'd be all mad at you. So it wasn't much of a motivation to win anyway. Not for an adolescent, 13-year-old boy. But what else? We had Crazy Climber, totally cool game if you've never played it. Just all these machines, and they were all lined up at the house, Space Invaders, whatever. And my whole basement was an arcade, basically. And these were all machines that were either in the process of getting fixed in some way, or they were there just temporarily, or we didn't have a place for them, or whatever. But they were all set to free play, and kids had just come barreling into my house every day to play my arcade games. And I was, for a period of time, especially in the junior high days, the most popular kid on the planet.
Yes, of course.
They loved me.
Doesn't it make you sad, though, that nobody actually liked you?
Yes. I went through a real period of loss when we quit having so many games at the house, and I noticed a drop in how many people wanted to come over and hang out with me. That was kind of hard to take, to be honest. But anyway, it was really cool.
Yeah, but it makes me smile.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it does. I can feel it now, right this minute. So I was really into, for example, my dad would have these contests at these arcades, and I would enter them all the time, even though I should have been totally, not eligible, but I did anyway, and he always let me. And I won a lot of stuff. I won, this really cool digital watch by having the highest score ever in, I think it was Miss Pac-Man at the time. Got another one for a Battle Zone score. My brother won a bunch of them for, can't remember what he did, Galaxian or something. Galaga, I don't remember. Anyway, really cool. Now, back then, arcades were the bomb, and you couldn't really get this kind of experience at home. You had the Atari 2600 at home, but it wasn't really providing the same experience as you were getting in the arcade. The way it worked was the arcade was the gold standard, and then if anything happened at home, that was all sort of trickle down, not as good, you know, leftovers.
Well, you see, that was the beauty of the arcades. I used to have an Atari 2600 at home too, and I used to have an Apple IIc. That was my first computer ever, an Apple IIc. Actually, I have it right here.
Right in front of you?
It doesn't work. I mean, it should work, but I don't have the cables for it, and I don't think you can get those cables anymore.
Yeah, you probably can't.
But I have it. I have it. It's right here, you know, the keyboard and the screen and everything. Now, the beauty of the arcade was that when you went to the arcade, you would get I mean, these machines had so much more power than what you had at home. So you could play these games, and it was really it was a real treat. I mean, it was worth all the money. I'm pretty sure you didn't have that problem because I'm pretty much guessing here that you didn't have to pay for all the games.
No, never. Well, my dad did, but I never did. They were all on free play all the time.
Exactly. So, I mean, but it was worth the money because you were getting games that there was no way you could play at home. I mean, and I had friends that had Nintendo before I had it, or Super Nintendo eventually, or even when the 64 came out. You would still go to the arcade, and you would get games that you could never get at home. Now, just less than a month ago, I installed an emulator here at home. The I don't know how you guys pronounce it, but the MAME.
Oh, MAME. MAME. It's MAME, I think.
Okay, the MAME.
Yeah.
And
it's probably wrong. I may be wrong about that. I've never known if I was pronouncing that right, and I've never checked. I assume it's MAME.
And who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Who gives a rat's a? Go ahead.
Thing is, I downloaded Killer Instinct because I remember when you know I used to go to the arcade. That Killer Instinct, I mean, that was the machine. Everybody was, it was all about Killer Instinct, and everybody was playing Killer Instinct, and everybody was so amazed with the way it looked. So I downloaded Killer Instinct 2 and played it, you know, the arcade version on the MAME emulator. And I looked at it and I went, wow, this is so not good.
mean, dude, that game is old and ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly game.
I mean, it did not age well because a lot of games, I mean, even though they're old and they don't look as good anymore, I mean, they age well. You're willing to forgive it and everything. But
yeah, Pac-Man still looks pretty cool. Donkey Kong looks all right. You're right about that. There's some games that look fine.
Yeah, some games age pretty well. But this one didn't. This one definitely did not. And it was really confusing because that was one of the main reasons I would go to the arcade for the power, for the sheer power these machines had.
Yeah. Yeah, and it couldn't be replicated at home very well. And I loved that time. It was like this sort of golden age of arcade stuff. Well, okay, so along comes 84, 85, 86, and this is where Nintendo releases the NES to the world. And the arcade business comes crashing down to the degree that it pretty much wiped.
But not yet, not quite then.
Well, it was pretty bad. A lot of companies went out of business. Only a few remained in the arcade world. I'm talking about, and that means
But I mean, like so soon because.
Oh yeah, dude. It was
when
bad.
Back when the original Nintendo came out, I mean, you still couldn't compare it to an arcade machine. I mean, the arcade machine. I don't know. I mean, when would you say that home consoles surpassed arcade machines?
I think that actually came much later. But at that time...
Yeah, exactly.
At that time, here's the problem. Every arcade machine was trying to be either a Pac-Man ripoff or some sort of Burger Time Galaga ripoff or combination of that Gala Time or Burgula. Anyway, they were all kind of the same game, and they didn't... Nobody was being innovative. They were all like relying on these sort of standards. It comes this console to the house, and there was other stuff. You know, Atari was working on a new system, the 7800, which ended up sucking, but you had Sega coming out with the Master System. You had a lot of things going on at home, and at home what you were getting were experiences that were more than just quarter time games where you get in, kill a bunch of stuff, oh, I'm dead, or I have three men and I'm out. Instead, you started getting games where you could really get into them and you could go long periods of time playing them, and they weren't the kinds of games that, you know, you'd have codes to continue after a level that you'd passed. Those really didn't exist in arcades. So there's a whole another world of games. Things that jump to mind are like Bionic Commando or the original Metal Gear, the Metal Gear games.
Metroid.
Metroid is a great example. Mario, Super Mario Brothers, really is a wonderful example. Even though it had some success in the arcades, its true place was in the home, and so that was it's considered by many to be the big crash, the video game crash of the early 80s, and we ate it hard.
I still play. It's a lot of Neo Geo.
Yeah.
That's the emulator I use the most, in the Neo Rage.
What's your favorite Neo Geo game?
My favorite Neo Geo game would have to be Last Blade 2.
Wow.
But I play a lot of King of Fighters.
Do you like the Samurai Showdown 2? Is a good game?
Yeah. No. I love the last one, Samurai Showdown 5.
Oh, they have it 5?
I never played really 4
or 5, yeah. I never played
I mean, it's a lot of fun. King of Fighters, Last Blade, Samurai Showdown, even a very crazy game called Waku Waku. Garou, Mark of the Wolves, was a really good fighting game also. I mean, Neo Geo had these... to me, Neo Geo is like the king of 2D fighting games. The only thing they were missing was, of course, Street Fighter, which, I mean, that was a totally different thing.
Yeah, but their problem, though... See, the Neo Geo, when that thing came out and you could get it in your home, it was a... This isn't seen that much now, but in those days, it was like a $600 box.
It was insanely expensive.
The games were like $100 a piece. It was crazy.
It was really expensive. But in the arcades, I mean, I still love those games, but I would not pay to play them anymore.
Yeah. Why? You'd never want to put money in those. Well, all that being said, so that big crash comes. My dad's whole business fell apart, and a lot of people's did, and a lot of companies kind of combined or they went under, and it was pretty ugly. Okay, so a little while after that, there's a resurgence in arcades. I would call this the 88 to maybe 92 range, 93 maybe, 94. And this is the time when you see games like Super Street Fighter 2, and you see things like Virtua Fighter was right in there sometime right around 94, 95. You started seeing racing games like Ridge Racer and others that came out, and they were mind-blowing. Big jumps in graphic capability, big jumps in gameplay. They started making these cabinets that were big old rolling machines. You sit inside and drive and twist around and do whatnot. Really cool stuff. And I would call that the next age of quality arcading, okay? Now that is,
but your dad didn't have.
No, we were long out of it by then. It was done. He'd lost his shirt. It was bad. We lost the house. At the time we had a house, motorhome, boat, all these like toys and stuff because he was making bank in that business. All that stuff went away. Lost everything. It was terrible, and it sucked as for me because one of the last games that we actually produced was one that we started building ourselves, started making our own cabinets, and I did the artwork for. And this is a game some people know about, which is called Lock and Chase. But we were licensed by Data East in the U.S. to be the exclusive arcade provider. And I created this, all the artwork for the thing. So I was like 14, 15 years old. It was a dream job. I was getting to do all this artwork on this case for the big banner on top, all the side artwork, all the stuff down by the joysticks. And everything crashed and hardly even anyone ever played that game. So it kind of sucks. It's a bad memory for me. But all of that stuff fell apart, went away. This is a long time ago, so you know nobody's still crying over spilled milk, but it's just the way it is. So then we get this new level of arcade stuff, and I would say that's when they came back and surpassed the home stuff again, blowing it out of the water.
So what did you like? Which one did you like from there?
Super Street Fighter 2, played the living turd out of that game. Played a lot of like scrolling shooters like 1942 and Commando. Marble Madness. I was huge into that game right around then. What else? What was the Gauntlet? Valkyrie needs food badly. Love that game. I mean, that was just a great time. It was a great time, and I loved it. And that was like my late years in high school when these games were really big. So we were always like cutting out of class and going to the arcade. So then you got a new generation of stuff coming out. You got the Genesis comes out, and you got Super NES on the tails of that. And now consoles at home are again doing things that the arcade can't seem to do or pull off. Or at least at the very least, it's replicating it. The Super NES version of Super Street Fighter 2 was awesome. It was great. And we played that thing till 4 in the morning, like every night, like every day. We loved it. So all that stuff comes and goes. And then in the 16-bit generation, again, the arcades ratchet up again, and you start seeing these Model 2 and Model 3 boards from Sega. They got like Virtua Fighter 2, and they got all these games that are just like unbelievably amazing, powerful machines. And there's this another age of kind of cool arcade stuff, and games start getting a little more expensive. People are paying 50 cents and 75 cents instead of 25 now, and blah, blah, blah. All that goes on. Make long story short, home consoles have another sort of iteration. Let's shoot right up till today. You're doing things on a 360, and you're doing things on PCs, and you're doing things on PS3s, and even on Wiis that the arcade cannot replicate without being way too expensive or without being a little bit pointless, because you don't need to make a game. You're never going to make a game in the arcade that has the depth of, say, Oblivion. Or, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto 4. And
okay, but what about fighting games? And this brings me to an interesting point, and it's I noticed that the new Street Fighter is coming out in an arcade machine.
And, that is true. Street Fighter 4 is. That's true.
I find that terribly interesting because I find it fascinating that somebody is still willing to bet on these machines. I can only assume they have to be terribly expensive to produce.
Well, that's my question then. Are we on the verge of another arcade revolution? Are we on the precipice of another wave of amazing arcade stuff? Or is that dead and gone? And the reason, and you bring up a good example, because here's Street Fighter 4, poised to be really cool and neat. Console versions are all planned and ready to go soon, but they are making an arcade machine. That arcade machine is something like 10 grand. And it is not reasonable for mall arcades or anybody else for that matter to bring in those kinds of machines. They can no longer afford this. Now, when I was a kid and my dad was doing Space Invaders and Galaxian and all that crap, those machines were costing us about $3,000 to $4,000 even back then. I just can't see how one game, if there was a bunch of other games in the arcade right now that were just amazing and blowing everybody's minds, that'd be one thing. But 90% of the arcades I go into around here locally, and I don't know how it is in Columbia, but when you walk into these places, it's all old games anyway. They've got old, like, totally greasy, nasty, you know, arcade machines of like freaking Missile Command. I mean, and you can barely tell it's Missile Command because someone cigaretted out the sign or whatever.
It's a dead business. I mean, what do you want?
Well, I guess that's the question. Is it dead? And if it is, do we care? Are we sad about that? Is this just like, you know, is this like fountain pens? It was kind of fun while we knew it, but now we're on to something better. I don't know.
Fountain pens?
I couldn't think of anything else, but because you know how in cartoons they always show fountain pens, and when you see a fountain pen like in a Tom and Jerry cartoon, you're like, ah, yeah, they used to make those. How cool is that? Those were great. Won't need those anymore. It's kind of like that. Are we done with these big entertainment machines that are, you know, put a quarter in a play?
I do believe so. I mean, I do believe so. Until you can get back what you had back in the 80s, which was that you would see on these machines something you could just not see at home. Until that happens again, I don't see any future in arcade machines. And the thing is, I'm willing to bet that there is a bunch of stuff you can have on machines, because of course, having a machine of this size dedicated completely to a game must allow you to do some incredible stuff that you can't just do on a console. But
yeah. Yeah.
The cost would just not make it practical. So of course I'm thinking, yeah, sure. I'll bet that there's a bunch of arcade machines that can do a bunch of stuff that you can't do on a console. But how much would it cost?
Yeah.
So until at a reasonable price, you can have an arcade machine that is going to give you an experience that is worth getting off your couch, going to this place, and putting money into it. I don't really see any future in arcade games. And so, I remember a lot of animations and movies that show you the future, and people are going to like play like in virtual reality worlds, like in an arcade and stuff like that. And I'm guessing, yeah, you know, if that happened, I'd gladly go to an arcade, but to go to an arcade and play something I can play at home.
Yeah.
No way.
And the spectacle, my, the nail in the coffin for me is that the spectacle of it is gone. You don't, you know, the video game world has moved past this stage. It is no longer like, oh my gosh, we got to get down to the arcade and we got to play that game. Now it's, I got to wait in line all night for Halo 4, or I got to, you know, Wrath of the Lich King comes out tomorrow and we better be there to get it. And it's a whole different
ball game.
Well,
you know what we have a lot of? Hmm. We have a lot of here in Colombia. Since most people can't afford a computer or a console or something, what we have a lot of, and there's like one every two blocks here in the neighborhood I live in, is places that are not an arcade. They just have like a little garage. And in the garage, they put up several TVs and a couple of consoles, and people go and pay money by the hour.
Right. Yeah. And that I could deal with. I mean, I feel like you're going to get more out of people
that
way.
I call them video game motels.
Yeah.
You go and you pay by the hour, and you get to play a video game that everybody else plays with.
Yeah. And if anyone else wants another reason to know that arcades as we know them, and the way O just described it is maybe a new way of looking at it. And movies are seeing a lot of this problem too, because you can do so much at home now. But another real indicator is does anyone remember, like in the chat room, there's a lot of people in there, maybe they can remember this, when Next Generation magazine was coming out, and other magazines, it didn't matter who, Game Pro, whatever, Electronic Gaming Monthly, they had reviews of arcade machines. Every month, there'd be a whole section, just like there were for the NES or anything else. There was a big section on arcade reviews, and it would be like, Street Fighter II Turbo Maximum Edition. We're giving that an 8 out of 10 because nothing really changed, but it's still an awesome game. And then they'd move on to, Space Harrier 3 and why it sucked. And they talked about those games all the time and reviewed them. I don't know of a single magazine or website now that reviews arcade machines at all, except the Street Fighter 4 thing's kind of like a big deal, so you know people are going to review that, but it's a one-shot deal. Nobody has any regular reviewing segments or sections. No podcasts are talking about it. It's just done. It's off.
I mean, even if Street Fighter machine is a success, you can't really measure the success of other machines with it, because it is Street Fighter. I mean, Street Fighter is the ultimate arcade game. I mean, this is a kind of game that you'd see a bunch of people gathered around the machine, because two sort of pseudo locally famous players were fighting, or somebody was about to beat the game or anything, and this was that kind of game. But you wouldn't see this happen with many other games. I mean, I saw it happen with again the now very disappointing Killer Instinct, but you would see people gather around to see people fight on Street Fighter, but you can't expect that to happen with other games. I mean, it is Street Fighter. That is, it's not going to happen again that easily.
Yeah, and it's too bad, because I miss some of that. I miss putting a quarter on the screen, and that was my way of saying I'm in line for the next game. And I miss, I miss that kind of that weird localized competition that would happen. All that kind of stuff was really a cool time, and we can look back on it. But now, honestly, I wonder if arcades are for nobody but old guys with too much nostalgia to spend, and pedophiles or something.
Oh, that's you. Oh, that's you too.
I could say, dude, listen, this is funny. I never told anybody this. And around here, the only arcades worth anything are called Nickelcades. And it's kind of a little chain, and there's like two or three of these, and they're in each kind of these little towns around here. And they're called Nickelcades, and most of the games in there you can play for nickels. So you go in there and you pay, $5 up front or whatever. It costs you like $5 to get in. That's like your entry fee. And then from then on, you just put your dollars in these machines and they poop out a bunch of nickels. And so you can play, Mortal Kombat 3 for, nickels. And it's great. And it's a lot of fun. And it's totally retro. No new arcade machines in there at all. This is all ancient stuff, old air hockey tables, old and busted Pac-Man machines, all that kind of stuff. And they all work. And it's a really fun, cool thing. Well, I'm at this one, about 6 months ago, I guess it would have been. I can't believe I didn't tell this on the show. I had pulled up to their parking lot. It was in the middle of the day, so there's hardly anybody there. I pull up to this parking lot and park, and I was not even going in there. I was going to this place next door to pick something up for Kim, and I get out of the car, and I notice there's another car running, like this old Oldsmobile thing, running with some kind of like fat-looking dude in it, behind the wheel, kind of looking at me funny. And I got out, and I'm just kind of looking at him, glancing, walking away, looking at him. I look back, and I notice this guy doesn't look like he's wearing a shirt. And I thought, well, what? That's a little weird. That's a little weird. So I kind of started walking sort of back toward him just a little bit, just barely. And that guy's buck naked. Like, he's sitting in front of an arcade totally buck. And he sees that he realizes that I'm kind of on to what whatever it is he's up to. And all you hear is, he peels out of there as fast as he could and, like, got out of there. And I didn't have the sense to write down a stupid plate number, but I did call the cops and say, there's a naked guy in front of the Nickelcade. I don't know what he's doing here, just so you know. And anyway, I never heard back, but holy crap. I was a little freaked out.
I bet it was totally innocent. I bet he was just wondering if they would let him in. Now, I mean, he probably ran out of clothes.
He was testing the no shirt, no pants, no service rule to see if they'd really enforce it.
No, he just ran out of clothes. He probably had some freak accident with his washing machine. But he wanted to play. I mean, he wanted to play, so he had some freak accident. He decides, okay, you know what? What do I do? I mean, do I stay home naked or do I go play? And he was probably very sad because of the accident with his washing machine.
Yeah.
And he wanted to play his troubles away.
Yeah. That may have been it. All I know is I've been
scarred
for
life. And you scared him off.
I've been scarred for
life.
And
you scared him off.
Dude, I can't. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you.
You know, it must be weird driving around naked.
Yes. Trust me, it is.
I
mean, I have no idea.
What kind of seats he had. I mean, if he had one of those like leather imitation seats, I mean, I'm betting your butt sticks to those seats.
Yeah, that may be true. That may be true. Okay, I'm going to do something a little, but we're running out of time, actually, because this has turned out to be a really awesome topic. And this is what happens when O and I are alone. I don't know if anyone's ever listened or noticed this. I'm sure they've noticed this, but when the three of us are here, it's all bah, zippity zap, wappity boo bah, yeah, whatever. But when you and I are here, it's all like...
I don't talk.
When you and I are alone, it's very serious. I mean, we still have a good time, but it's very like, yes, the state of arcades today is experiencing quite a downturn in the market penetration, blah. I don't know why that is. It's funny. Maybe it's more intimate. Maybe it's more... I don't know. Maybe we're more intimate.
Yes. We're more intimate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Deaf Mute says you need your own show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So good luck on that. We're going to do something a little...
oh, no, you're supposed to produce it.
We're going
to
do something a little weird. I'm going to cold call the other guy, because this is a guy I played in arcades with a lot as a kid, and I want to get his quick feeling on some of our experiences and make sure I'm remembering all this stuff right. So let's see if we can add him to the conference. This is Mark, also known as the other guy. He was at Nerdtacular. He's been on the show a handful of times. Mark.
Oh, okay.
Right now?
Yeah, we can hear you. Are you there?
I'm here.
Ah, dude, you had no idea I was going to call you, did you?
I had no idea.
Well, good. This is perfect because that's the way I like to roll. I like to piss people off by just pulling them out of whatever they were doing.
Are we on?
Okay, I'm making the questions.
Yes,
we are. I'm making the questions.
We're,
Mark,
we're recording.
Mark, we have
yes.
some very important questions for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. When you were little and you had... Okay, when you were little, Mark, do you hear
me? Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, can you hear me now?
He can hear you, gosh dang it. Go. Ask your dumb question.
Okay. When you were little and you had to put up with Scott.
Weren't that little.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
Were you his friend just because he would give you easy access to the arcade?
That wasn't a real question. You're really asking him that? Mark is the only guy. I'm not going to answer for Mark. I'll let him answer.
Be honest.
I'll let him answer. But my impression is... My impression is that Mark is the only friend who wasn't in it just for the video games. Most of the rest of them. Because Mark, tonight, just to fill you in why this comes off as kind of weird, we're talking about the state of arcades and whether or not they're dead, dying, already dead, going to come back, whatever. And you and I spent a lot of time in arcades and a lot of time in my basement for that matter.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, first of all, I think you probably noticed this, but to answer his question, don't you think there was a lot of that going on? I had a lot of friends that weren't really my friends because of that.
You mean like Gary?
Yeah, I mean, like Gary, dude. That's true.
No, when Scott first moved into the neighborhood, of course, the first thing I said is, he has video games? But no, I mean, you know, it was always fun to play, but we did so many other things. I really wasn't all that into it, just the video games.
You were
His
the only one. Everyone else, dude, thanks a lot. Everyone else sucked, but you were not one of those guys. But quickly, would you say, I mean, you and I spent a lot of money on games like Super Sprint and freaking Marble Madness. We'd skip class and go play these games.
Yeah.
720. Mm-hmm. 720 was like your favorite game.
Yeah, it still is. In fact, my brother, after seeing, what was that documentary on Donkey Kong?
King of Kong.
Yeah, King of Kong. After seeing that, my brother, who's, he said that he's actually going to buy me a 720 machine so I can beat the high score on 720, because my average score, if you look on the website of all the video game records, my standard score on that game back then would easily make the top five now.
Oh, dude, you should totally do it. You'd be the new documentary all about Mark and his 720 score.
Yeah. But the state of arcades are completely gone and dead. There's nothing left for them. I mean, they're a complete waste.
Yeah.
I
was telling these guys about how we have those nickelcade things around.
Yeah.
And those are fun for some good nostalgia things, but have you seen anything in an arcade that would resemble something new?
No, nothing at all. I mean, I think they've even given up on it, because the problem is, even with the nostalgia aspect of the old games that you find in those like nickelcades and things like that, I mean, you can get the same games for your Xbox or for your, you know, PS3. You can get them and you can play them and you can still have the same experience playing them at home. So why would you bother going off to an arcade where they're going to make you pay 50 cents to a buck per shot at those games?
Plus you get like hepatitis and stuff from like holding those joysticks and stuff.
I can imagine all the diseases we ended up with just by touching those stupid controllers.
Oh, dude, I know. I think our whole immune system is based on joysticks and rollerballs.
And see, you know, the arcades had suffered such problems, not only from the lack of good things in the arcades in the 80s, but also because they killed the golden goose. They were so pumped about trying to get more quarters in the machines that the games became so hard to play, or the way you played was time-based, where you had to keep pumping quarters just to play the game for another minute.
Yeah, I hate
that. They killed it. I mean, nobody wanted to play them anymore because they just weren't fun. It wasn't like Pac-Man where you could, you know, pump a quarter in, and if you were good, play for an hour. I mean, they totally went away from that.
Yeah.
The games got crappy,
I
and those two things combined.
Like that.
Say what? Oh, say that again.
That annoyed me a lot. I mean, there were these games where you would win, but you still had to pump in quarters. I mean, that makes no sense. I won.
I remember the first Neo Geo machine that came out that had like five different games on it, and you'd put 50 cents in, and it'd give you like one minute 30 seconds for play time. It's like, you know, nobody played it. And there were some okay games. I mean, I love sports games. That's what I like. And they had a great baseball game on there, but I wouldn't play it because I didn't want to spend $5 just to play one game.
Yeah. So you don't think – we've seen it go up and down, up and down. You remember the big crash in the 80s where everything wiped out. Then it kind of came back. Then it went away again. Then it came back. Well, we're on that cycle again where the home consoles are dominant in every way. Do you – here's the prediction of your moment. Here is the reason we got you on tonight.
It's Mark's time to shine.
Yes. Do you predict an upswing in arcades – with the likes of Street Fighter 4 and perhaps others, or do you think that this is it, last time was it, no more chances, it's over?
I think they're completely gone. I think the whole way people play games now is so different, and the types of games that people play now are so different that you can't do it in an arcade setting. You look at the sophistication of the games and the enjoyment factor you get isn't just from playing three guys and going through some different levels of Donkey Kong. It's a completely different mindset now for video games, and it just doesn't fit an arcade mentality. Plus, it's too easy to play them at home.
Yeah, true.
And so why would you bother, you know, like I'd get on my bike and I'd ride clear out, to the old family center. For those of you who are not around Utah, you don't know that. But, I mean, I'd ride 3-4 miles to go play video games.
I remember that.
and who's going to do that now?
Nobody.
I mean, kids don't ride out of their own neighborhoods anymore.
No, it is sad, though, because I'll go to a movie with Nick or with the kids, and most movie theaters have some crap hole of an arcade still. like some just poopy, crappy in the corner of the room, nobody can hardly go in there kind of place. And they get so excited when we walk by there. Dad, we got to go in there and we can play stuff. Dad, blah, blah, blah. They see what we used to see in the kind of spectacle of it and the kind of, hey, this is a special thing you don't get to do very often kind of way. But in the end, they're going to spend all their time at their buddy's house playing, you know, their PS3 or something.
It's a great novelty. I mean, and even at the movie theaters, you know, they'll have the little game section. There are people in there playing, but it's a little niche thing that's kind of a fun diversion. But it's not, it can't be fueled by the money it used to, by guys like us who would spend, you know, we're making, what, $3 an hour, but we're spending $20, you know, a pop in the arcade.
It seems we spent all our money on gas and arcades.
That's what we did. Yeah. And it doesn't happen anymore. I mean, there's no way you're going to get that, you know, that much money coming in from a wide base. You'll have that niche group that's, it's kind of fun to go and do this little skiing game or whatever, or do Dance Dance Revolution time. I mean, but you're not going to, it's just too easy and too sophisticated for the home market. I mean, I think we'll see arcades come back as soon as we see Pizza Huts cropping up again, where you go actually go and sit down and have a waitress bringing you your pizza. Yeah. That whole genre is gone. The arcade's gone. I think it's a, you know, I don't think there's any chance of it ever being like what it was.
I'm having crazy flashbacks. Oh, any final thoughts about the issue before we head on out of here?
I think, well, the only time it'll ever change is when holodecks come out. Yeah. When holodecks come out, then it changes.
Hey, O wouldn't know anything about that.
I said something similar. I said that when machines can do something I cannot do it at home, we'll go to them.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's exactly, you know what? You just summed the whole damn thing up. We went because it did something we couldn't do at home. Right?
Except Scott. Yep. Scott will probably be dead.
Yeah, I may perish before then. Hey, Mark's older than me.
By 5 months?
Yeah, but still. All right, well, that's going to about do it, folks. Thanks, Mark, for letting us pull you in, dude.
No problem. Have fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And, as always, doing these shows with you when Brian's not around is kind of a pleasure, because it's not because I don't miss Brian. I do.
Ow.
But holy, it's nice because these are our chances to get all serious about some topic, and it's been good. So
And everybody knows you can't talk serious with Brian. I mean, the man knows.
Yeah.
No seriousness.
He knows no seriousness. But always, if you guys want to be a part of our lives, you can do it in a couple of ways. Make sure you visit commissioncomic.com. That's where you find O's comic. And again, he's on a new 3-day-a-week schedule. Much easier to digest, or at least to create in his on his part. You can also follow him on Twitter at twitter.com/oabnormal. You can follow me at twitter.com/extralife. And Brian's not here, but he'll be here next week. His is twitter.com/missiondeep. You can also find more about him at missiondeep.com, as well as comicscoasttocoast.com. It's a lot of information, isn't it? For everything else about this show, the blog, the comic that I do 3 days a week since 2001, you can go find out more about that at myextralife@gmail.com. Myextralife.com. And if you want to email us, you can send your emails to extraliferadio@gmail.com. Send your audio and written comments there. Huge thanks to the chat room. You guys were awesome tonight. 263 of you so far, or I think the highest, which is rare because this is not a normal recording night and not everyone knew we were doing it. So happy to have all you guys here. Thanks so much for being here and participating in your own special way. Let's see. Anything else I'm forgetting? Make sure to go sign the petition at geekpressure.com and get O to watch that stinking Star Trek. Watch some Star Trek. But I guess we kind of already have a deal, so who cares? Thanks to the sponsors again. GoDaddy.com or GoToDaddy. GoDaddy.com and YouBuyNow.com. Thanks, you guys. Thanks to Rob Gobers for our music. Thanks to Skyhawk also for his musical contributions. Thanks to Scott Fletcher for our various bits of voice work. Big thanks to, of course, everyone else who makes this show possible. Thanks to Sebastian for our mashups. Those are always good. And thanks, you guys, for listening. Again, without you, we suck. So that'll be the show. We'll talk to you next week for show number 195. Have a great week, everybody. Just
This is what happens to me. Hold on a second, I'm twittering.
I was unable to stop.
Who's down with OTT? President Dick Hertz and his vice president, Shweddy Balls. Sorry, Microsoft. I love your 360. Actually, I don't. It's a piece of crap. You said duty. The healthy thing to do is to take 4 or 5 cat-sized poops a day. I should just call that channel Shit TV.
Are we going to have a whole bunch of write-in votes for Mr. Bubbles?
I thought you meant like the word bubbles.
I have to talk like this. I can't help it.
What is that? Like a new sexual preference?
Oh, it's just like the TV series, but it's longer.
By the way, mine, I have one of those. Somebody gave it to me, and that thing gets hot and shorts out. We have that effect on people.
It was like a million tiny voices screaming in pain, and then it just stopped.
Did call the cops and say, there's a naked guy in front of the Nickelcade.